Hello, everyone, and welcome to our final Daring Greatly podcast. I'm Father Tim Baer from St. John's Church in Tulsa. I'm here with a few of my colleagues.
Everett Lees, I'm a vicar at Christ Church in South Tulsa.
And Kirsten Baer, I'm curate at St. Patrick's in Broken Arrow.
And we're in our final week of our series in Daring Greatly. As we dare greatly this Lent, and this week is Holy Week. We're leading up to Easter, and so we wanted to kind of give some wrap-up to our series. We can't go into detail on all the last chapters of her book, because we've run out of time, simply. But we want to talk a little bit about minding the gap, and then talk about Holy Week and Easter, and from a kind of biblical and theological perspective, what this Brené Brown's book, how that is in conversation with some deeper liturgical and theological themes within the Christian faith. So, Everett, why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about Minding the Gap.
In this final chapter, one of these final chapters by Brené Brown, when she talks about minding the gap, she's really talking about how we implement this strategy, this living Daring Greatly as a culture, and making it the way in which we act and behave. She says it really beautifully here. We don't have to be perfect, just engaged and committed to aligning values with actions. And so, you know, for me, it's like not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And how do we, you know, not just use the language of shame and vulnerability, but actually learn to live out of those places?
Right, yeah. And kind of that sentiment of minding that gap is essential and at the core of all her application, whether it's applying this to education or the workplace or parenting, and even in the church, we've talked about some ways that this same thing applies. But that at the core is that difference between our aspirational values and our practiced values, what we say and what we do, as you said.
I love where she says, you know, we can't offer what we don't have.
Right.
And it's not about what we know or what we want to be. What matters is who we are.
Yeah. And that applies to leadership and business, to teaching. It applies to parenting as well. And it's really at the core of her parenting, wholehearted parenting chapter. What Brené Brown brings out in the Mind the Gap chapter is that what she believes is kind of underlying the majority of the problems facing our families and schools and communities and organizations is disengagement, that we disengage to protect ourselves from vulnerability and shame and feeling lost or without purpose, and that disengagement is kind of that defensive mechanism to protect ourselves from vulnerability, from deep feelings, and from having to deal and process shame. And so we disengage to protect ourselves from those type of situations that bring up those feelings.
She talks about that even in regards to faith, and how when a lot of times religious leaders leverage fear and a need for certainty within faith communities, and people either disengage or they... in worst cases, can go to extremism, and when you take vulnerability out of faith, what terrible consequences it can have.
Right, right.
Well, and thinking of the ways in which even certainty itself can be a way of disengaging from the reality of our lives.
Yeah, or certainty. Well, disengages from having to think about the gray. Certainly, the gray areas of life. Yeah. And then can easily move into the absolutes then, which can be a dangerous place, especially in religious circles.
Yeah, because it is vulnerable to wrestle with questions of faith and to really engage these things and realize kind of the more we learn, the more we don't know and the more questions we have, and that there's a lot of mystery, and that vulnerability can be scary, but also can be, like she says, all throughout, the birthplace of creativity and hope and love and joy and all of those wonderful things.
So before we started recording our podcast, we were reflecting a little bit on Holy Week and how we wanted to move this podcast towards Holy Week and these last days of Jesus's life in particular. And we were talking a little bit about about disengagement around Holy Week in our culture. You know, in some ways, we there's lots of services that remember different days and aspects of the last week of Jesus's life and his time with his disciples, all the way up to the cross. And all those days lead us into Easter, which we'll celebrate on Sunday, March 31st. But in our culture, there is somewhat of a declining number of people who participate in those Holy Week services. Part of that is busy schedules and things like that that keep people from being able to come out multiple days a week during Holy Week. But I wonder if there's also an element of disengagement around there, around kind of the darkness of Jesus's story in those last days of his life.
Yeah, I mean, the pain in hearing the story, and even on Palm Sunday, having to shout as a congregation, "Crucify him," is a thing that it touches us deeply and can be depressing and make us disengage, or we can engage it and really look at, and the pain of that is taking us deeper into faith and making us more vulnerable to experience, wow, God loved us this much that, that he was with us in all of these painful, things in life.
You know, I think that part of it is when, you know, when you think about that minding the gap of creating a culture, and part of it is just knowing the story that forms us. And when you just kind of move from Palm Sunday to Easter, you really kind of miss out on some really key things that tell us about who we are and who God is.
At what point do we start to use the cross then just as that strategy rather than that culture?
I think we've all probably have experienced times in which it seems like the message from certain churches is that Jesus's only point was to die upon a cross. And I think really what he's, and so that's a strategy rather than inviting us to a culture in which we're willing to die to self. And so you think, you know, very powerfully in John's gospel when he says, you know, there is no greater love than this to lay down one's life for a friend.
Right.
Is that a strategy or is that a culture that he's developing?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the challenge then for churches and religious leaders is to be aware of how they're using language around Holy Week and atonement and what Jesus is accomplishing. Yes, absolutely, there's forgiveness of sins in the cross and there's power in the cross, but we risk minimizing the cross into just that strategy or that mechanism of forgiveness, rather than inviting people into the spiritual life, into that wholehearted life of dying to self and of vulnerability, and so something's missing if we're not going there.
Yeah, and like I said, it could be seen all throughout the narrative of Jesus, the way that he set aside self in challenging the systems and living and being with the people on the margins. Is a lot more than just the death, although that reveals so fully who Jesus was. It's a whole value system in life rather than a certain strategy for forgiveness.
Everett?
You know, I was also thinking about kind of these cultural expectations that we have created that we're intended to be happy at all times.
Right.
And I know Brene Brown talks about this in other parts of her book, but the reality is that hell exists not as like a location we can dig down to, but there are times in which we live in the midst of hell,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of a reality that only can be understood through the death and the resurrection.
Right, yeah, and the risk in disengaging from Holy Week is forgetting about those darker parts of the story, which maybe have the most potential to really save us from the darkness in our world and our lives. But it's that darkness in our world that cripples us that we disengage from that keeps us from participating fully or engaging in the darkness in the narrative and of Jesus's life.
At our last session, we watched Brene Brown's video on Work of the People called Jesus Wept. And she talks about her view is God is love, but that it makes the most sense then for her that Jesus is the Son of God, because people want love to look like rainbows and unicorns and not a man who ate with the sick and died to self and died on a cross. That love is painful, and yet that is the most real love we can imagine, a God who weeps with us, who's with us in this life, in all of those dark places, but who brings light to those places as well.
Right. And that's where true redemption lies then, is that in that we're not alone in those times of darkness, and that God moves us to that Easter light and towards that new life, that we're never stuck either alone or by ourselves or forever in that dark, in that darkness.
Rabbi Friedman talks about, in his book, Failure, Nerve, and Age of Quick Fix, that we just want to get right to redemption.
Right.
And the video in which we watched, that I encourage you to try to find, she talks about how some people want the church to be an epidural, and it's sometimes more like a midwife. Masking the pain versus kind of birthing us into something new.
Yeah. So rather than the butterflies and the rainbows, love looks like sacrifice and vulnerability, and the life of a man who continually gives himself over to God's will, and through his life and his sacrifice shows us most clearly who God is, and is the ultimate revelation of God at that point. And that's where true love really looks like. Where we can see that most clearly. So that video is on The Work of the People, which is a website that does lots of media and stuff for churches, and so you can find it there. It's called Jesus Wept, is Brené Brown's video there, workofthepeople.com, and it's there to download and to view. So that's where you'll find it if you want to check out that video.
What if you think about the Easter message of you know, Christ rising from the dead and defeating sin and death, it means that there is no need to fear of dying to self, because there is new life, and that shame is something that we could move past.
Right.
Yeah, the hope in that, and this has all been about placing our worthiness in being children of God. We look at God as one who is willing to come and weep with us and be with us, then it makes it a lot easier to place our worth in him as one who truly does see us as that beloved, worthy child.
Yeah, and values us so much as to love us so much in our sinfulness, even when we would put Jesus to death, to redeem that, or to redeem that that sinfulness with that power of love.
Yeah, that the cross, a symbol of humiliation and execution and fear, became the symbol of unending and eternal love. It's amazing.
Well, so maybe in this Holy Week, in the time that people listen to this podcast, and as you, whether it's before Easter or after Easter that you're listening to this, think and reflect a little bit on Jesus's life as a life of vulnerability. You know, read the gospel and look for those places where God makes God's self vulnerable to humanity, where Jesus makes himself vulnerable to people around him time and time again, and follow that line all the way to the cross. And I think that'd be a powerful lens to read one of the gospels, you know, chapter 1 to the end of that gospel, and see what your experience of it is. Well, so do we have any final thoughts about Brené Brown's book or how this series went in our churches that might be worth sharing on the podcast?
I've really enjoyed it. It's been a great study. People really engaged in conversation and discussion. And so I guess in some ways I would just say thank you all who are listening and who participated. And I'll continue to reflect on this for a long time to come.
I think people really enjoyed the discussion. I think is in kind of this mind the gap, that it's really easy to kind of adopt the language of it. It's really difficult to put it into practice. And I realize that within my own you know, with my own ministry, that it's really difficult to make this real, that it kind of runs against our human nature.
In our culture.
And so it's been a powerful kind of check for me and a kind of a mirror placed in front of me.
Yeah. I just want to share about one woman in my congregation who said that this was a book that she put down, or actually slammed down, several times and really struggled with. But she kept wrestling with this book and what it had to say, how it spoke to her own story. In the end, told me that it's one of the most important books that she thinks she's read in many, many years. And that one that she'll continue to wrestle with, but one that's worth wrestling with, which I think is high praise, I think, of Brené Brown's work and the impact that it can have on somebody's life, but also encouraging to people who are wrestling with this book and are questioning it, to continue to wrestle with it, that something is worth processing and doing some of the work that the book asks us to do. Well, we hope everyone enjoyed the book, enjoyed the podcast. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your Holy Week and into Easter. And remember, it's not the critic who counts.